to the How Did They Do It Real Estate podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack. And today we've brought a fantastic guest for you, Cameron Gilmore. And he took his company from zero to $34 million in 9 months using part-time college students with no sales experience. He's also a parent of 10, you heard that right, 10 children and has 4 grandchildren. And he's also a host of the international podcast, The Arch Study of You, which I had the honor of being a guest on as well. And that was fantastic. So you guys make sure you check that out too when you guys get a chance. It's a really, really great podcast that he posts together. He brings a ton of value, high energy. You guys will love it. And he's also an author and an international professional speaker. And so I'm super excited to have him on the show today and talk a little bit about mindset, how he looks at life holistically, how he applies that to create and look at life, not just in the business side, but to also managing his family as well and keep everything balanced and how he fulfills his life and those around him. So Cameron, thank you so much for being here today. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually doing really, really well. Getting ready to go into a long weekend. Thank you for that intro. You know, when I hear people give me that intro, oftentimes the self-doubter creeps in, right? The person, the fraud creeps in. And I'm like, man, did I really do that? Did I really build a business that way? Do I really host a podcast, right? And it's like all things, right? As soon as your brain starts to feel any kind of acceptance, it automatically goes into, you have 3 different aspects, right? Flight, fight, or fear, or freeze, actually 4. And so you have to train. So my brain, I'm always having to tell myself, you actually did that, right? You have the proof, it's in the pudding. And so never be afraid to embrace those successes, right? Because we don't celebrate the successes nearly as much as we need to. And it's hard because you don't want to come across as egotistical, right? You don't want to come across as, that's not how I was raised, right? In the Navajo culture, I'm half Navajo and half Scottish. So my Navajo side is, No. You stay balanced. You know, hojo means balance, mind, body, and spirit. And you don't want to come across as boastful or proudful. But when you can look back or when you can map out exactly what you're trying to do and you push towards those dreams, then your brain starts to understand and recognize you're not trying to be prideful. You're actually being inspirational. Once you're able to differentiate between the two, you empower your brain, empower your mind, and you empower others. And that's the whole purpose of, you know, why I do what I do is just to really just empower as many people as I can.
No, that's awesome, Cameron. There's something in there I wanted to ask about your background and something that you mentioned earlier, but I wanted to give you a chance also to give our listeners a little bit of a insight into your background and what you're focused on as well. So if you want to start there, and then I'll circle back to the question I had.
Yeah. So thanks. I appreciate that. My background, a personal background, I'm half Navajo and half Scottish, right? I love both of my cultures and they really teach me a lot of cultural things. My dad was actually on a placement program when he was younger. He was able to leave his off the reservation and then go to a place where he would learn, you know, go to school and basically have a better opportunity of life. And because of that, because of my dad paving that way through struggles, I mean, he knew Navajo, you know, I mean, go from Navajo to English was a very trying time for him. Wasn't very good in school, but he got in trouble. Like, you know, he was rebellious. And so because of that, because he taught me and taught us, my brothers and I, my sister, these things, we were able to look at that and say, man, you did something that I probably never would have the guts to do. And I appreciate that. My mom's side, my grandfather came over from England over in the United States. They immigrated here. My great grandfather, he was a doctor, very good. But my grandfather took a different path. And so because you have these two cultures that intermingle with each other, I mean, you know, Scottish and Navajo, it's baseline for either destruction, right? Because through alcoholism and pride and that downfall that you have, the negative side, you know, the woe is me, if you will. Or you can use that and say, I'm learning from that. And because I've learned principles, and oftentimes it was taking years for me to learn those principles, you become and start to understand that the more you can give back, right? I always say acquired knowledge is great, but unshared knowledge is useless knowledge. And it truly is. And if we can bridge a gap between people that have been there and done that, and those that are trying to do, we bridge that gap, then you have a way better chance in life and you feel so much more fulfilled. And that's what I love doing.
No, awesome, Cameron. Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things that you had talked about earlier was when I read your bio, you had mentioned that you had a little bit of that fear, like that imposter syndrome that kind of crept in. It's like, oh, did I really do all that? As you're listening to it and you're looking back, and even though you have the experience underneath your belt, why do you think some people still get that fear, that self-doubt, even though they have that track record or they have those experiences that they can point to? However, there's that little voice in their head that always kind of puts them down a little bit or creates that little self-bit of doubt.
Mm-hmm. Great. I love that question. So I always go back to my five-year-old self. When I was 5 years old, I remember vividly that I said I wanted to play in the NFL. I also wanted to be an astronaut because to go out in space, right, and see space and the stars. I'm like, those were the two things that I'm like, I would love to do. That's all I want to do is just dream, right? And you dream so big as a five-year-old child that nothing scared you. Oh, I'm going to try this. All right. Oh, I'm going to try this. All right. I mean, I remember getting rollerblades as I got older and I'm like, I'm going to take these jump off of the flight of stairs. There's 20 stairs. I'm going to jump it. Why? Because I can. In my mind, I already imagined it and already said, I'm going to do it. And I did it. Then what happens is throughout your life, you run into adults, right? That have given up on their dreams, given up on their passion. They've given up on basically life itself and still this into you, be more realistic, right? You get this approach of, well, I mean, are those really realistic goals? You know, you need to dream within this conformity of this box. And that box is unfortunately the box that they empower on you. So as you go through life, your dream goes from the universe. Okay, I can see the stars. Okay, well, I can see the clouds. I can see the top of the building. And next you know it, I can barely see in front of my face. My dream is as far as my nose will go. And so as you get older, right, and not everybody's this way, but the vast majority of the population, that's how it is. This is just the United States. I mean, once you leave outside the US, I mean, it's a lot different. On our podcast, you shared a little bit of insight on that. And so what happens is we get older, our self-worth and our mindset is predicated upon what we have heard our entire life. I'm not pretty. I'm not smart. I'm ugly, fat, I'm skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too brown. I'm not brown enough. I'm too white. I come from poverty. Oh, your parents were super rich. You're just a rich brat. You hear all of these negative influences flowing into your head. So when I grew up that just with this belief of, man, I'm only as good as people are telling me I am my entire life, right? I'm going to share something I've never shared openly, which was I played football from the age of 7 years old and I went to a junior college. My self-worth was based on what people were praising me. You're doing great. Oh my gosh, you're so great at football. Football was everything to me. That was my entire mindset was as long as I'm good at football, I feel like I have self-worth. When I no longer played football, it was like, now what do I do? Right? My whole life was built around playing football. And I still love it. I would love to go back to coach, but it's that negative spin of I'm only as good as my football will take me. And when that stopped, I was like, now what? What do I do? Right? And then I spent years trying to get through and break through that, this mindset of I got to find other self-worth, but that had to be build it within myself. So the imposter syndrome always creeps in, right? Because I was always measuring it against, well, this is what I did in football. I'm not there yet. So I must be, I mean, people aren't going to listen to me. Why would they listen to me? I mean, I'm only as good as my football, right? And even still today, like I still get that imposter syndrome, even through the countless hours of mentorship and mindset. And I mean, I wrote a book, it goes through the I am statements, even going through that and the actual items and visions and dreamings and casting out there, even still then, you know, the imposter syndrome will creep in. And it's just because we're limiting our beliefs and who we are, right? So I'm a very faith-based individual. If I understand that I truly am created after my maker of God, and I know that he's the highest for me, then why am I living my belief to somebody who gave up on their dreams years ago, right? And so when I understand that, and I know that even better, that helps me quickly alleviate that imposter syndrome. So that's just kind of just the years that I've spent. To me personally, that's how I have fought through that imposter syndrome.
Now, that's incredible. when you had said that, you know, when as a kid, you jumped those 20 flights of stairs and without any care of doubt, it's funny because that brought me back to a story when I was younger also, because I did the same thing, except that we took our mattress down and then laid it down at the bottom of the stairs. So at least you have some type of cushion. But I look now at the stairs as an adult going back to my childhood house. And I'm like, well, how did we ever think that that was a good idea? Right. But then at that young age, you don't have that fear set in you yet. You don't have the boundaries or the fear that something bad will happen yet. You're just like, I'm just going to take that leap of faith that I'm just going to be fine as I hit the ground at the very bottom. But you just get back up and kind of keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, so to kind of segue into something, that's why when I started a company, I only used part-time college kids with zero to no sales experience, because they weren't already tainted with the workload, right? They weren't already tainted with, this is the workforce, this is what you do, right? We've always seen those, all the old kid commercials that go in, they punch a time clock, they go on a conveyor belt and they punch a time clock and they're done. They didn't grow up that way. This generation that is coming up now, they weren't grown up with this mindset of 40 hours a week for 5 days a week or 6 days a week for 40 years of your life, you're going to retire. Once you retire at the ripe old age of 65, 70, if you haven't been broken down bodily because you haven't eaten right or worked out, you now get to live on your retirement. And you're like, well, crap, I can't walk. I can't do this. I can't. You know, they were grown up of, if you can put it on your phone, if you can see it on your phone, you can create whatever you want. So the reason I brought them is because I have 20 plus years of, you know, sales business experience. I wanted to build a culture where we focused on the personal development first, right? We focused on the individual first. So when we would sit down, one of the things that I did when I would sit down just before my reps got on the phones that Friday, I would go in and sit down and say, listen, here's what I know. I know you guys all suck. 100% you all suck. I'm old school. I tell them up front, I'm old school. This is just how it is. You suck. I know you suck. Everybody on that floor knows you suck. The people you talk to, they know you suck. The owners, the investors, they know you suck. It is my job and my team's job to make you better. That is the whole focus. So when you come in on Monday morning, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to have an attitude of gratitude. You're going to write three things that you're grateful for every day when you come into work. And it can't be, I have a job. It can't be, I'm about to make money, I'm about to get a sales. No, it's, what are you grateful for? Three things every single day. And then what you're going to do is you're going to write three things that you're going to work on. Non-sales, yes, you are going to sell, but it can't be measured on how many sales I'm going to do today. Or it can't be measured on how many pitches I'm going to, no. It's, for example, this is the great psychology. So anybody of you out there, that people that are on the phones, public speaking is still the number one fear for everybody. So it was required when you got on the phone and got someone on the phone for the first time, you stood up. They had to sign it. They signed it and said, that's what I'm going to do. So they would get on the phone, someone would say hello, and people would stood up. So it looked like little gophers all up and down the sales floor, because all I wanted them to focus on was, you can sit down. When you get to this part of your pitch, you can sit down. All they cared about was sitting down. That's it. Person was like, hey, this is so-and-so. Yeah, I'm at work. Oh, great. Perfect. And they would go through the pitch, not even listen. And then they were able to go, I need to sit down. Because in sales, you have to get seven yeses. You need seven yeses. Once you get seven yeses, you have a 90% chance you're going to close the deal. So we would get them the first five yeses. They just had through the two other yeses. So we were building up this ability that you are a professional salesperson. Yes, this is your first day on the phone, but your mindset is, I am a professional salesperson. And that's how we treated them. So the attitude of gratitude, right? Then they focused on those three things today. I'm going to sit down 20 times today. That's my goal. Perfect. Guess what your next goal is? You're going to sit down 20 times today. Guess what your next goal is? You're going to sit down 20 times a day. Their first three goals from the first week, that's all we focused on, sitting down, sitting down. And let me tell you what, those reps that were brand new, they always have the best sales. It's because they're not tainted by the other reps that have been there a while. So these other reps that are more seasonal that are on the phone, it's funny, right? Not, they weren't seasonal coming in, but they've been in the sales floor for a month or two. Now they're seasoned. They were struggling. And they're like, why am I struggling? It's because you're not standing up. And it wasn't the process of standing up. It was, I need to get to this point. I don't care what you're saying. I got to get to this point and then I can sit down. And so when you go into that mindset of just helping people understand that we're going to focus on building you first, then we'll build. I mean, I can teach anybody how to sell. I mean, that's easy. But teaching somebody how to believe in themselves when they've never been taught that before and never had the ability to set goals and to dream, that's why we grew so fast and did so well.
We love hosting this show. When we started this podcast, we were doing all the editing and post-production ourselves. Now, we are very excited to have this particular company as a partner of the show to do all the post-production for us, because it gives us the freedom to focus on the two things we care about: serving you, our listener, at a higher level, and growing our own multifamily business. If you are like Sayla and me, then you want to add value to others while scaling your business. A podcast is the best way to do both, and we invite you to contact Adam Adams. He can help you launch your podcast, market your show for more listeners, and take all the post-production off your plate so you can focus on your business instead of in it. Listeners of this show can get a free consultation with Adam. To schedule your free consultation, find the link in the show notes.
So how about for those who have already been conditioned a certain way, they've already been jaded by certain experiences, people telling them, they are reliant on hearing what other people's telling them to evaluate their own self-worth and create their identity based off of what other people are saying to them. As a seasoned person who already has that built into your system and what you're thinking about, how do you separate those two so that you're not clouded by what everybody else is saying, and then you can start building up on your own terms?
Great. I love this question. So in your inner circle, you're going to have people, you're going to talk about, oh man, I really would love to start this business. Then you're going to get right away, they're going to say, why would you do that? Why would you go into real estate? Do you know how many real estate people there are? There are seasoned real estate people. You're going to go in and what are you going to sell? These guys have a book of business. You have no book of business. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking that. Right? Always remember, when you accept someone's opinion of you, you accept their lifestyle. Right? Let me say that again. When you accept the opinions of someone, you accept their lifestyle. So the minute it happens, it's going to happen. The minute you try to move out, let me give you another analogy, right? If you put a lobster in a pot of water, it will try to climb out. That's just nature of what it does. You put another lobster in that pot of water, right? One lobster will try to climb out, but the other one's like, nah, we're not going anywhere. And he'll pull that lobster back down. And if it keeps trying, it's going to break a leg. It's going to break one of those legs. And you put more lobsters in there, and other lobsters that are trying to climb out, the other lobsters will break their legs and eventually they'll end up killing it.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to be the lobster that's trying to climb out, you got to get out. You need a better circle of influence. You need a better circle of friends. So to uncondition your brain, the first thing you have to do is understand that all the decisions you've made in that up to that point in life, you have to own those decisions. You have to say, if you are going to be a real estate agent, you have to say, I am a real estate agent. When people ask what you do, I'm a real estate agent. Oh, how long have you been doing real estate? Oh, I'm brand new, but I'm a real estate agent. You may not even have taken a test. You may have started the process of learning and getting into real estate, right? Whether it's, you know, single family, multifamily, right? You have to say to yourself, I am this, because once you say this is what you are and you cast it out to the world, scary as all get out, what will happen is you'll say it and instantly you'll go, ooh, that was scary. They're going to realize that I am not a real estate agent. They're going to realize that I haven't even passed the test yet. They're going to realize I can't even show a home. I only know this because I bought in and was going to take a real estate class. I started the real estate class. I finished the real estate class, but I never took the real estate exam. Ever. I already paid the money that I need. I already went through the classes, but I never did it. Why? Because I never was like, I'm a real estate agent. But it also, the limiting belief of me that I could become, or I was one, right? For me, I'm glad I didn't, because it took me a completely different path. I wrote my book and now I have other things. So the first thing you have to do is sit and get real, right? So the I am statements are the best things to do. Now, it's not just saying it. You have to actually put it into motion. So journaling is the biggest thing. What I did when I went through a divorce, you know, 2012 to 2014, So what I did is took out my journal. I doesn't care. You don't have to get a fancy journal. I had a three-ring binder or a spiral bound, right? And I wrote every negative thing about me, wrote it all down as much as I could. Wrote it. I mean, it filled up these pages. Once I was done feeling sorry for myself, I ripped out all those pages, went over to my barbecue grill, put all those pages in, put lighter fluid on, threw a match up and watched it burn. And I sat there until all of them burned. What it does to your brain is when you see and you can burn away those negative thoughts, you watch them burn away. Then I instantly went back, pulled up a new piece of spiral bound, and I started writing everything positive I could think about myself. It took half a page. That was it. But that was, I said, why do I want to try to rebuild a burned down house? I want new wood, new materials to burn my house. So you need new material, new things to build you up, to build up your mind. First thing that I always tell people to do, go get the book by Andy Andrews, The Traveler's Gift. It's a fantastic book, right? If you've never read it, it's an amazing book. There's 8 principles in there, but it basically tells you, you own every decision that you make. Once you can establish and own your decisions, then we now start to build who you are. And then it also talks about dreaming. So put you back in the state of dreaming to become better. And that's what I love. So these books, I'm going to give you another book. So once I tell people to read Andy Andrews, The Traveler's Gift, then the second thing you need to do is the 5-second rule by Mel Robbins. 5 seconds, you count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you do it. You don't wait. The reason she talks about why you count backwards is because when you hit 0, you have to do something. If you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? Your brain goes, oh, I can't do that. Count backwards. I got to get up. You start to adjust in your brain. I have to do this because somebody is relying on me, which is me. And so we can go through, I mean, there's a myriad of books, but those first two books, Get Real With Yourself. You start to establish the pattern of, I accept every decision that I make. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm going to put myself into action and I'm going to move. Then it is, as you guys see over here, right? Atomic habits. Start to build new habits. Understand habits. Right? A bad habit takes a week to do. A good habit, it takes 21 days to start, but it takes an additional 40 days to keep going. Because it's easy to be negative, but it's super hard to be positive. Atomic habits, start in it, get after it, go. Then you have to go to The Big Leap. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, understand your upper limit. Understanding, oh, it's just, I feel like I'm here. It's only because that's the limited belief that we've been indoctrinated into us. So once you understand that and then get into your zone of genius, which is, what are you called to do? What are you passionate about? If real estate is your passion, then you need to stay in that zone. You read everything about real estate, right? You do these, you go to your podcast. I listen to your podcast, fantastic podcast, by the way. You listen to consume all the free content on real estate. Everything there is about real estate, you consume it because you're changing. This is my zone of genius. Then you start to talk like a real estate agent. Then you start to talk like an investor. Then you start to talk like somebody who knows real estate. Then from there, the high five rule by Mel Robbins. It's the high fives. You do the high fives. It seems super childish, but I'm telling you, I did this for 60 days. I looked in the mirror, said, hey, go get it today. Boom. And high five myself. And I'm like, and that's the book. High five yourself and you go. High five yourself and you go. And you're like, holy crap. There it is. And then you end up with Think and Grow Rich. I mean, you have to read that book. It's Think and Grow Rich. If you can think it, you can dream it. It's hard work. I'm going to tell you this right now. 95% of the stuff that you do that are people that are quote unquote successful, nobody sees. Nobody will see that. They will see the 5% and say, that's the lifestyle I want. No, you don't. I'll tell you right now, it is not the lifestyle you want because it is going to pressure you and push you every single day. All right. Sorry. I went on a rant.
No, you get me on this mindset. That.
I'm telling you, we can keep going. Tony Robbins in here, the money, but I'm telling you, we can
go on forever. I love it. No, absolutely. This mindset. The way we try to condition ourselves, it's not just like an overnight type of thing. It's steps and steps, and it takes time and habits. And we got to change our habits to condition ourselves to think a different way, to look at things differently so that we can be the best version of ourselves. And it's not something that happens overnight. It takes time. It takes practice. And you put it into like perfect perspective on how to actually take some action to change our way of thinking and to change our habits and look at different ways to do things and look at different ways on how we can approach things. And I love the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, because after zero, there's nothing after that. You've got to go.
Yeah. Then you're in the negative. Then you're red. Then you're like, crud, this stinks. You know? So if I could impart a little bit of action items, this is what I would do. This is how I rebuilt and retooled and retrained my entire brain. In 2012, again, I was saying I was divorced. I was sitting there, I write about this in my book, but I had my hands on top of, in my bathroom, I had them on top of the sink. And I looked in the mirror and I just said to myself, this can't be my life. Not the divorce, but the mindset. This can't be my life. And then I just said, you know, I am, in very sheepish term, I was like, I am, you know, I'm a good dad in this tone. I'm a good son. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a man of God. And it started with the littlest, simplest saying. Then I went downstairs, or wasn't downstairs. Then I went into the office area and I grabbed not a magic marker, a dry erase marker. And I went to my window and I wrote in big words, the letters I am. And then I wrote a good dad. And then I wrote a man of God. I'm a good son. I'm a good neighbor. And then I said, I'm a good dad. I'm a man of God. And then I started to cry. And then I started to speak it louder. And then I started to speak it louder. And then I started to scream it every single morning. I would write, I would erase the words before I did, took out a journal again and wrote in there, I am, and wrote all the rest, six I ams. And I would do it every single day. Morning, I'd get up and I would take a deep breath in. And then I would look at what I was going to say, the first line, and I would scream it out as loud as I could. There was nobody in the house. You know, it was just me at the time. And I went line by line by line by line. That's how I started my morning every single morning. Every single morning, I would scream it. And before I went to bed, I would scream it every single morning or every night. And then when I was done screaming it at night, I would write it in my journal and then I would erase it. And then I'd get up in the morning. Once I was done writing it, then I would say, I need 5 more things, 6 more things. What am I am for? And every single day I did that for 21 days. And let me tell you what, it was weird. It was awkward. I cried. I was like, no, you're a loser. Why are you doing this? This is like childish, right? This is so childish. Why are you doing this? But then after I said, am I really this prideful? Am I really this arrogant? Am I really this stupid to think I'm going to change my brain by doing simple things? Why not? Why not try it? 21 days later, I had not rebuilt myself. I had found my new self and my new zone. And I said, I am this. And every single day, I'd grab a pillow and scream it into my pillow. If you're, you know, married, you have kids, you have people in your house, you have roommates, whatever, grab your pillow and scream as loud as you can. Because crying does two things. One, crying helps you purge. But it also, once you're done crying, you have some of the best clarity you'll ever get. It's amazing. So you're going to cry, 100% you are. And to take it one step further, I would record myself in the mirror screaming at it. Because during the day when I was at, I feel like crap, I don't want to do anything, boom, I'd go over and play and I would scream. It was like I was screaming at myself and I could see this. And I go, nope, not today. Not today. I just listened to Ed Milet's podcast today. And he's going over his book called The Power of One. And he talked about one more day. If you don't think you can do it, just don't give up. Try one more day. And I love it because that's really what it comes down to when you're changing your brain. Your mindset is just one more day. I'm going to do this one more day. I'm not going to give up on myself one more day. And that's what I did. So when you go into this space and you get into this zone, your actionable items are for 21 days, this is what you need to do. It sounds super childish. I know, but I'm telling you it worked. I have taught this principle for years ever since this. You're going to go and buy brand new erasers. You're not going to do red. You're not going to do blue. You're not going to do yellow. You're going to do black. Okay. Go to your mirror. You're going to clean your entire bathroom. The entire bathroom. You're going to scrub it down. You are going to listen to music as you clean. I call it my hype music. You are going to listen. What gets you going, gets you moving, gets you in that space. Your brain gets going and going. That's why they play music before any sporting event. Hype music. Everybody's going, go, go. And then once you're done, cleaning everything. You burn candles, do whatever you want. That's fine. Then you are going to find a music that you're going to focus on, the focus music. Switch it from the hype. Now we're going to focus. So now we get in the space of I'm going to learn. And then you're going to go on that mirror and you are going to write it up on the mirror. And then you are going to scream it out. Yes, scream it out. Tell your husband, tell your wife, your significant other, tell your kids, get your kids involved and say, we're going to scream I am statements for 21 days, every day for 21 days. And then once we're done, we're going to write it in our journal. Because I'm telling you, you have 21 days of 6 I am statements. Do the math really quick. 126, right?
Morning and night.
Morning and night. 126 times you are saying, I am this. And your life will become blissful. And you will start to get in that zone of genius. And you will not listen to other upper limits. You are going to lose a lot of things along the way. I'm telling you, you're going to lose a bad attitude. You're going to lose negative friends. You're going to lose negative colleagues. You're going to lose this wrong identity of yourself. You are going to lose so much along the way. You start working out, you're going to start shredding that weight. I'm telling you right now, best time I felt. You're going to stop, you're going to lose eating crappy food and you're going to eat better food. So that's what I've done and it's worked.
My goodness, that is amazing. I love that. As a family, we might have to try that also because it's interesting. It's interesting because I have young children myself. So mine is 3.5 and 1.5 right now. And I tell my kids too, like, oh, you are this, right? And then they'll repeat it after them. But then you never really think about to do it on yourself, right? Because you're trying to condition the kids to have that self-confidence or to not think about like what other people are focused on. But when you reapply it to yourself, it's a different way of looking at things. So why not do it to yourself also? And so it's really interesting when you put all that into perspective and to actually like voice it out and to not just like meekly say it, but to say it with full confidence. And over time, how does that condition our mind to think about who we are as a person? How do we think about ourselves and what we identify as and not focus on what other people are saying about us?
Oh, 100%. And the reason it's the warrior cry, you know, you're thinking about your ancestors. I mean, I think about the Navajo side and the Scottish side. They didn't quietly go in and try to raid somebody or kill people, right? They didn't, it wasn't like, yay, we're going to, No. It was this empowerment, emboldenment, right? They would just breathe in and scream as loud as they could, be bigger than who they really were. So their foes would get scared because they heard this enormous roar coming over the mountaintops. And that's what you're doing. You are becoming this built-in warrior. You're changing the way that you think of yourself. And you're right. We can tell our kids all the time, you are this, you are this. But the minute we try to focus on us, the brain puts up these walls and says, nope, we don't do that. You've been told never, ever, ever do that. Never tell yourself you're this. Don't ever tell yourself this. Now, there's a change of guard, right? All of us that are now teaching our children to think this way, they're going to grow up with these I am statements. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, no, I'm not that way. This is how I am. I am this. And they will be able to deflect the bullies. They'll be able to deflect those that come at them. Your teammates, that when you build your company, when you hire on people, if you do not set up a personal development, personal growth, and you are not as from the top down, not working on yourself every single day, month, year, then you're not going to grow as fast as another company that is completely focused on building ourselves mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Right? Spiritually, however you want to, you believe in God, great. If you believe in the universe, the higher power, you believe in whatever it is, you need to become balanced. And when you do that, life just becomes super fun.
Incredible. Thank you so much for sharing all that, Cameron. If there was one other actionable item that we can implement and incorporate in our daily habits, what would that be on top of the I am statements morning and night? If there was one other thing that you would choose, what would that be?
Well, I'll actually show you. A mentor of mine gave me this planner. It's called the High Performance Planner. Okay. And basically lays out, I'll get a clean piece of paper so you guys can see it. So it's an old school mentality, right? You basically have every single day that you list out, but you'll see on the sides, it gives you morning mindset and the evening mindset. And it helps you start to focus your time because the time, you know, we all have 24 hours in a day. The most successful people are, they safeguard their time. They safeguard it like crazy. So when you can go and lay out your day and you can lay out, this is what I'm going to accomplish today, all the little distractions that you find yourself doing, checking email, getting on social media, you know, replying to text messages, if it doesn't fit within that paradigm of time that you said, this is my time, I have this time for my work, this is my time for my family, this is time for myself, right? And if you look at that and go, man, I need more time. Well, what time are you starting your day? Ed Milet always talks about you got to start your day before you start your day. Most successful people get up at 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock. Why? I get up at 5. Why? Kids are still asleep. It's quiet. It's my time to be by myself and think. I read, I ponder, I pray, I actionable items. So to answer your question is the actual items you have to start your day before you start your day. If you're just climbing out of bed when that alarm goes off, you jump in the shower and you're going, your brain is not ready. Your brain is not ready for the day. You have to get your brain ready for the day. And I'm telling you, if you're used to getting up at 6, then you get up at 5:55. And then the next week you get up at 5:50. And then the next week you get up at 5:30. And then the next week you get up at 5:45. Well, wait, what happened? Look, it's not going to work all the time. So you adjust. It's okay. Just adjust. Then it's 5:40. Then it's 5:35. And then it's 5:30. And then it's 5 o'clock. And then you're like, you're not going to be super awake. No, but you're getting your brain ready and it's transitioning into this phase. And so it's just building that actual item of getting up, getting your day done before your day starts. And that's just how you do it. List it out. Time, guard your time. Guard it with your life, because that's the only thing we cannot get back is the time. Once it's gone, it's gone.
100% agree, Cameron. This has been such an amazing episode, and I'm so grateful for you to come on today and share all of that with us. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. There's so many golden nuggets in this episode here. I am pumped up. I am pumped up, and we're going to try that as a family also, Gwen, probably this weekend. So we'll see how that goes, and I'm excited. But awesome. Thank you so much, Cameron, for everything that you shared with us. And for our listeners out there who also want to reach out and learn more about what you're doing, get in touch. Where's the best place that they can go?
You can go on my page, thearchstudyofyou.com. I have all my links on there, my Instagram links. It's just Cam, C-A-M underscore Gilmore. My LinkedIn is just Cameron Gilmore. But yeah, you go there, you can find it, reach out. Yeah, I'm an open book. So like I said, acquired knowledge is great, but unshared knowledge is useless knowledge. And I just want to change and leave a legacy, not only for my kids, but my kids, 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 and other people's kids, 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 so they can go and listen. That's my whole goal, my drive, and my mission and my passion is to just help change one person at a time.
Thank you so much, Cameron.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes.
If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Zayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist.
Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.